Life Audio.
In the Bible, fear was the very first negative emotion, and it impacts virtually all of us. On the next Encouragement for You, author Don Sapaw talks about overcoming fear.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
In his book, The Search for Peace, co-authored with Robert McGee, Don Sapaw shares insights into overcoming the debilitating negative emotion of fear. He talks about those insights with host Don Hawkins on today's initial segment.
There are well over 300 references in the Bible to the subject of fear, and Don Sapaw joins us to discuss this topic and to analyze what we need to do to be able to deal with fear in our own lives. Let's get right into our discussion. Let's begin, Don, with a sort of a definition of fear. It's something we talk about. There's a lot about it in the Bible, help us understand, get our arms around this concept.
You bet. The Bible is very, very clear on fear. And fear is an emotion. God can experience every emotion. God the Father has and can experience every emotion that we have, except for one emotion. That one emotion God cannot relate to, he cannot experience, is fear. Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. So therefore, God cannot experience fear.
Yeah.
So how do we overcome fear? It's not as simple as just experiencing perfect love. But I think as we talk through this, I think our listeners will find that if we can embody that perfect love in our life and we can find ways to let that become metamorphosis within us, to begin to change us, then we will be given the tools and the power, the supernatural power, to overcome fear. I would encourage our listeners to recognize that God understands we experience fear, but that's the only emotion that he does not experience, because the Bible's very clear about perfect love.
Fear is a very, tends to be a specific thing. And there are a lot of things that we're afraid of. And I think you deal with seniors a lot and caregivers. And I would think that for seniors and their caregivers, a fear of the future would be a major fear.
You know, Don, you're right. There is a fear of death for many. There is a fear of the unknown. And I think to distinguish between worry and fear, I think is critical, because fear can become debilitating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can immobilize you. Whereas worry, you're going to find a way to overcome that worry. It may slow you down. It may keep you from accomplishing things that God would otherwise have you accomplish, but it's not debilitating, typically. Worry can build up. You know, a lot like if you had a filter and water was pouring through this filter and you keep getting it clogged up with dirt, eventually the water won't pour through very well. That's a little bit like worry. fear is where the water can't make it through that filter anymore.
Yeah, there's a plug. I mean, the filter is just totally plugged. And so a person can literally be paralyzed by fear. It's interesting. One of the words for fear in the Old Testament literally has the idea of a hair-raising experience, like the mane on the back of a horse. And I think we've all been in situations, you know, walking down a dark street late at night and hearing a sudden sound, and you feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things about fear. So what do we do to deal with fear? You have some thoughts you want to share with us?
You know, Don, the first step, I think, is you have to identify the fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I walk just about every morning, and we walk a couple of miles in a park near our home.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting just yesterday, the day before yesterday, how our son, who's now 27, how he had incredibly irrational fears until he was 10, 11, or 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there were nights he would crawl out of bed at midnight, and he would come to crawl underneath one of his sister's beds and sleep there because he just wanted to be around somebody else, and he wanted all the lights on. And we tried to get to the heart of what the fear was, but it was always irrational. It never really made a lot of sense. And so eventually, over time, we addressed those fears. And we confronted those fears, and whenever we shined the light on the fear went away.
Hmm.
And so I think one of the very first things that are very helpful is to determine what is the fear. Really define it, because if you can't define the fear, it's very hard to tackle it and to identify how to overcome that.
I think you've identified a good point there, and that ties into fear of the future, which, again, is a huge issue these days. You know, we also have fear of failure. That's one of the fears that we probably have and probably hinders a lot of people these days who've lost jobs from being able to find a job.
Very true. And, you know, the fears that we addressed at RAFA most significantly through, you know, addressing self-esteem issues, you know, the fear of failure, rejection, you know, punishment, shame, those fears can be, they're legitimate. The experience of that fear is real. And the source of that fear, we know, is not from God. But yet God can use those experiences and those emotions to bring about change to mold us in his image.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound or disciplined mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people, I believe, today who really are struggling with issues in their minds, and they haven't experienced that perfect love that casts out fear. And because of, you know, and it's because they have not really allowed the power of God to dominate their lives. Now, you've suggested that the place we begin in dealing with fear is to identify the fear. So I've done that. Then what happens?
Well, Don, I think once you identify the fear, then you have to hold it up to the microscope and determine, is that fear real? Is the fear relevant to your life? Is the fear brought on by something that is rational? And for most people, the fear that they are experiencing is something that is totally beyond their control. So you have to recognize that you have to begin taking small steps to give that fear back over to the Lord and allow him to change you, because you recognize you can't change the outcome. You mentioned a couple of times already fear of the future. I can't change the future.
Mm-mm.
I can't change the past. I can only change the present.
Yeah.
I can only change what I'm going to say in the next moment or moments from now or what I do today or tomorrow. While that clearly, there's nothing like the present because there's always something happening, the reality is people become immobilized by that fear of the future, which they cannot change. The fear of, you know, perhaps some physical harm to you or your family, is that rational? The fear of losing your job, is that rational? And so once you've identified the fear and you've determined whether or not you can or cannot do something about it, begin turning that over to the Lord. You can't control what is or is not going to happen. So there are those who, for example, my wife has an aunt who she cares for deeply, who has cancer. And in all likelihood, the cancer will take over her body over a very short period of time, perhaps 6 months or perhaps a year.
Yeah.
The cycle of cancer has been in remission and not in remission, and a high count and a low count. And we all know the process when you're struggling with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a fear about her passing on? And the answer is yes, there is a fear about her passing on. But it's really not a fear as much as it is a loss. And so once you shine the light on that fear of losing someone, my wife has recognized that I'm not fearful of her passing. I am disappointed, and I'm beginning to experience grief and loss because she won't be with me anymore. And so by identifying what you're truly experiencing is really the first step. And the second, I think, is you've got to recognize you're not going to control this yourself. It's going to require supernatural intervention. You need to begin to ask God to help you understand it. So the first is understand it, confess it, express to the Lord your feelings, and ask Him to begin changing you on the inside.
Boy, those are four great steps, and I hope you picked up on those, friend. Identify the fear. Examine it. Is it really relevant to your life? Begin to take steps to give that fear to God, and then ask God for His wisdom and His strength in overcoming it. It's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 2, we're told that Jesus shared in our humanity so that by His death He could destroy the one who holds the power of death, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I guess that might be the ultimate fear, the fear of death. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Mm-hmm. And he really engaged in what we might call sanctified trash talking. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? So
that's right.
Stay tuned for more of the conversation about overcoming fear with Don Sapaw and host Don Hawkins right after these important messages. And don't forget to listen for Don's live weekend talk show, Encouragement Live, heard Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio and other radio stations around the country, plus the worshipchannel.org. And now, more of the conversation on overcoming fear, featuring Don Sapaw, author of The Search for Peace, and host Don Hawkins.
Our first caller is Terrell. Hello, Terrell.
Hello. Thank you for your study of God's Word, and I want to say what an honor it is to be able to talk to you.
Well, we're grateful to have you on. How can we be of help?
Yes, sir. And coming into the knowledge of the fact that we reap what we sow, knowing my past, I really have a fear of what I'm going to reap, if you will, in the future. And so I, you know, without getting into specifics, I just wanted to see if you could, help me perhaps prescribe something that I can study and to help me with that.
Sure.
Yeah, and the consequences of sin are certainly frightening. David was a great example in the Old Testament of a man who was a man after God's own heart, and yet he suffered consequences for his misbehavior. And so there are times that we face those. Don Sapaw, I know you have some thoughts to share with Terrell.
I have several thoughts. First of all, you know, I would start by saying you use the word you reap what you sow, and while certainly that is absolutely biblical, I think when we're talking about sin in our life, the very first thing we have to address is confession. And it sounds to me like, Terrell, that you have truly experienced confession and repentance, and you're now in a process of obedience. And in that process of obedience, what you're trying to do is ensure that you truly are repentant and you have confessed your sin, and you're concerned that there may be an outcome somewhere down the road, as though God were a slot machine. I put these bad coins in, I pulled the lever, even though I've confessed, even though God has clearly forgiven me, I am concerned that at some point I will have to pay for that sin. And I would tell you that the Bible is incredibly clear. If you read through Romans, Paul is very, very, very clear in the New Testament about how old things are passed away and all things become new. And I believe that we worship a God of repentance and a God of grace. And we've talked about this on the show before. I believe the reason in the Old Testament, which was clearly, we lived under the law, the reason David was a man after God's own heart, and the reason God loved David so much was not because he lived a perfect life, but because David was transparent with God. He was honest with God. Mm. He was constantly exposing himself to the errors of his ways, and he sought God's forgiveness. I would tell you, Terrell, that if you have truly confessed your sin to the Lord and you have repented and you're on a path of obedience, I do not believe that you're going to reap what you sow in the same mentality as to what you experienced.
Let us pray for you. Father, thank you for Terrell, for the heart that he has for you, for serving you. Lord, help him to overcome these fears. Lord, there have been things in his past that he has done, and they violated your standards, but he's confessed these to you. And Lord, his heart is to serve you and to please you. And I pray that you would just help him to overcome this spirit or attitude of fear with the power and love and the sound mind that you've given him, and that he might experience the abundance of your grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thanks, Terrell. Great to hear from you. God bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Brad is listening in Louisiana over AFR. Good evening, Brad.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for calling us. Go ahead.
I have a fear. I lost my dad in 2001 to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out the other day that a cousin on my dad's side has come up with the same cancer. And this cancer is the rapid growing kind, and when they diagnosed him a month and a half later, he went on to be with the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now my cousin has come up with this, and I'm not sure, where she stands with the Lord. And I have a real bad fear, because you always hear that family is the hardest people to witness to.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, because I've tried. And I have a bad fear that, she's not going to be open, she's not going to be receptive to the Lord's word.
Let's talk to Don Sapaw about this. Don, this sounds like a place to utilize those four steps that you identified earlier for both Brad's own personal fears about cancer and also about the spiritual and physical condition of his cousin.
Sure. And let's separate those, if we could, for just a moment. First of all, my wife tells me often that she has absolutely no fear of dying, and I think she means it. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that she 100% has no fear of dying. She said, but I have fear of pain.
Yeah.
I don't want to experience pain. I don't mind dying. Because I know my eternal destination.
Sure.
So, the potential fear surrounding your dad passing away of cancer in 2001, your cousin now getting this cancer, it having an impact on you. It sounds like you sort of kind of got a handle on that. But it sounds to me as though what you're sharing with us is you're really concerned about your cousin's eternal destination. And I can tell you the best way to overcome this fear, this concern, is let's start with that examination. Is it real? Well, you know what? Death for an unbeliever is fearful to me.
It's real.
To think of a family member dying and spending eternity in hell, I'm just going to tell you, that I think is pretty fearful.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, the examination's pretty legitimate. Second, do you have control over it? And the answer is no. You don't have any control over her eternal destination, but you do have control over how you respond to her. And this is, God's given you this barometer inside of you, almost like when you get sick and you catch a fever, the fever is not your enemy. The fever is your friend. Because that fever tells you that there's something wrong in your body. Well, the fever you're experiencing emotionally right now is the fact that you're concerned about her eternal destination. God's given you this barometer inside of you, this concern for your cousin. He's encouraging you to be gentle and kind, but I think God's fairly clear in what he's trying to show you, that you have an opportunity here to share with her the fact that she has nothing to be concerned about because you have answers for her about her eternal destination. And if she wants to hear those answers, you're willing to share those with her. And I don't think you have to go in there with your Bible and hit her over the head with it.
Right.
I think you need to be very transparent with her and say, I care for you. I loved my dad. I'm sorry he's gone. I miss him greatly. I want you to know that I know if I had cancer today, I know where I'm going to end up. And if you would like for me to share with you some answers, some solutions I found in my life, I'm here to share those with you. I don't think it needs to be, you know, the Romans road. You don't need to bring your Bible and hit her over the head with it. You just need to be yourself, Brad. You sound like, you know, my perfect neighbor. I'd love to have you come talk to me if I didn't know the Lord.
Yeah, and I think the wise counsel that Don has given you, Brad, gives you a strategy that you can utilize that'll put feet to your concerns. And basically, that last step of taking action can make a huge difference. So, Don, would you lead us in prayer on behalf of not only Brad, but especially the spiritual welfare as well as the physical of his cousin?
You bet. Father, we thank you for Brad, and we thank you for the fact that he is sensitive to the spiritual needs of his cousin. Lord, I thank you for the fact that he is asking for insight as to how he might be able to approach her. Lord, we recognize that you are Jehovah Rapha, our God who heals, and you are capable of supernaturally intervening physically in her life and healing her as we speak. And Lord, if that is in your will and you believe that that will glorify you, we ask that you do that.
Yes.
Father, in the meantime, I ask that you send courage to Brad, that you give him encouragement and courage to approach his cousin and share with her how he feels, not only about her, but about the potential of her leaving this earth and not knowing where she will spend eternity. Father, give him wisdom, give him the words from you through his mouth so he can make a difference in her life. And through this process, we're going to give you all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I'm so glad that you called in tonight, Brad. We will be praying for you, and we'll look forward to a call one of these days when you call to share with us that she's trusted Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Don Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Don and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and lifeaudio.com. Editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.